It was a brave new world on several fronts at Seattle Grace Hospital. Callie and Erica explored uncharted territory, George passed his exams, and Christina discovered the polar opposite of the surgery ward, the dermatology wing. Welcome to the official Grey's Anatomy podcast. Executive producers Shonda Rhimes and Betsy Beers are back to take us on a journey through the most recent episode, Brave New World. And we'll even drop some hints about what's coming up in the future. Speaking of future episodes, be sure to tune in to ABC on Thursday, October 23rd at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific for There's No I in Team. Now, without further ado, here are Shonda and Betsy.
Hi, I'm Shonda.
I'm Betsy.
This is Grey's Anatomy.
Well, you know, I'm just going to give a little weather report here in California right now because it's friggin' dry. There have been fires. It's been really weird and bad because, of course, there are fires always in this part of Southern California.
And Santa Ana winds are blowing, which makes the fires worse.
So I feel a little stuffy. So if I sound a little bit stuffy, it's not because I'm stuffy. It's just because I am, actually. Just
the weather.
That's the weather.
We blame it on the weather.
We do blame it on the weather. We blame the dryness on the weather. And the dryness, by the way, you need to moisturize. Which reminds me, everyone needs to vote.
Yes. Moisturizing does lead to voting.
It does. When on your way to the voting booth,
moisturize.
Because if it's anything like it in Southern California, you're going to want to be moisturized and you're going to want to vote.
And let me remind you, just your vote matters.
More and more and more importantly, it matters. So don't listen to the polls. Just vote because you want to vote.
Vote your conscience.
Vote your conscience. Vote also with your hands.
Yes.
Use your hands
and
to pull the levers.
And don't forget to look for cute boys while you're voting.
That's right. Because remember, voting booths, great made to be people.
They vote. They're citizens.
I think hot people vote.
Many
hot people vote.
Every time I go to the polls, there's just a plethora of just hot people.
It's absolutely true. And you know, the great thing about the polls is it's like jury duty. It's like the melting pot of life because you get to meet lots of different people. And I've met great people in jury duty and at the polls.
Less stinky than jury duty and also all day.
Yeah, by the way, the room for jury duty, not so much on the room.
Voting's quick.
Voting's
fast. It takes
15
minutes, maybe five.
And you get that little sticker. So let's say you voted, you went and you got your coffee, you're standing in line, and there's that person with the little sticker. You can say, hey, you voted.
Yes. You have to take democracy seriously. Isn't that what you want in a partner?
You know, I think...
People who vote are often good at sex.
So remember, voting equals good sex.
Exactly.
And
that's
our message for today.
I don't really think we have to say anything else.
I don't either, because I think actually, since we've given this message, probably... Any questions anybody has about Brave New World might just be...
Superfluous.
Well, you know, I would say they would be superfluous, except for this actual episode has one of my favorite things in
Mine
the history
too.
Of the food chain of
Mine
life.
Too.
Of all of the history of television, from Jack Parr on.
I'm actually really proud of what we were able to do here.
And I'm also going to tell you a side story about the furniture, actually, in the dermatology wing. But I think we're talking about dermatology.
I was talking about another piece.
Were you really?
Let's talk about dermatology.
Okay, see, mine was dermatology. Because it's like we both clearly have great favorite things, which means this could go on for 6 hours.
Yes. Dermatology started because in the writer's room, I was saying, you know, we always make jokes in the writer's room about dermatology as sort of being a surgical specialty that's not really surgical. And it's not true. I mean, dermatologists do great things, as evidenced by my dermatologist. Dermatologists do great things, and we love them.
They check molds.
But I really believe that someone like Christina or Meredith or, you know, hardcore people would find dermatology to be interesting because it's also the highest specialty gone into by women who want to have families and want to have a life because the hours aren't crazy. So you step through the doors, you know, from the... Our guy's side into dermatology, and it's a whole other world.
Well, I also just loved the idea that, okay, the world of Seattle Grace is this world that we know the hospital, blah, 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 and then one day you open the door and there's a whole other wing we didn't know anything about.
Yes.
And the wing is the anti-OR.
Yeah.
It's the gore fest, which is Seattle Grace that we know of operations, and it's people drinking water with berries in it and getting
hand massages, yeah.
Which is such a funny kind of... flip side reality that you actually created an alternate reality of Seattle Grace within
that
Seattle
Grace. That
was
our whole point, yeah.
Which I just thought was hysterical. And
just, there's another, on the other side of that door, there's a world in which people don't work all the time and they get too much sleep and they share and chat and laugh.
And I think just so our listening audience knows, I think we both became sort of obsessed with the furniture in dermatology.
I became so obsessed with the furniture in dermatology that I redecorated my entire office.
She did, to look like dermatology.
A little bit to look like dermatology.
It's a little bit brighter, a little more colorful, a little more Shonda-esque,
yes.
I would say.
So but, my office is now dermatology.
And can I say it's zen, it's relaxing. I have a big impulse to put lemon in my water when I'm sitting
People
there.
People enjoy coming in there now. Before it was kind of a dark cave.
It was kind of a dark cave. It was kind of a... It was kind of a sadder, more intense place where you went for intensity. And now you kind of go for relaxation.
But you know the sofa that, that they're all sitting on in dermatology? I have that sofa now.
She has the sofa.
Not the
Not
exact
the same sofa.
Because we're gonna, maybe it's we'll go back to dermatology.
You never know.
Because
I'm hoping we go back to dermatology because it's one of my favorite places.
Because Dr. Daisy Pepman must be known more.
Okay. And by the way, who's named Dr. Daisy Pepman?
I love the name
the
Dr. Daisy Pepman.
Best name ever.
And she's so cheerful and pretty and happy.
She's fabulous.
And perfect skin.
She's fabulous. And I have to say my dermatology office is a little bit like dermatology when I go in. To Dr. Alan Rosenbach, he and his little perky people give you most like potions and they tell jokes.
Shout out
Dr. Alan Rosenbach. Very nice man. Yes. We'll check your moles. Check it out. Also, we'll do some sort of electrolysis, I'm sure, if you're interested. Not that I am. But I think, you know,
personal.
That was personal.
My personal favorite thing in the episode.
I know what this is.
Is Bailey and Callie.
You know what? And you know what? As soon as you said my favorite thing in the episode, I knew what you were talking about. Because this is, if there's anything which is penultimately Bailey.
Yes.
It's the need to talk in metaphor.
Well, and we were so proud of it because we really wanted to have a way to discuss the issue that they're discussing. Which is the undiscovered country that is the vajayjay, in a way that felt like you could discuss it on A, network TV, and B, still kind of openly, but have it be funny and also helpful to Callie, who's not sure what she's doing down there.
Well, and then you gave it to Bailey, because this is the only way that Bailey could discuss it, because Bailey could never discuss anything like this.
Well, that's my favorite thing. Bailey would never talk about sex to anybody for any reason at any time. And what I loved is that we sort of layered it in so that if, you know, you think or you'd assume that Bailey's staring at her that way because she disapproves of two women being together or she doesn't, you know, she can't handle that part of it. But that's not it. Bailey's just Bailey. She doesn't care who you're having sex with. She just doesn't want to talk about it ever. But clearly Callie needs it. And when she sees the way that Erica is looking at Callie, she realizes that poor Erica might need it too.
Everyone needs some help.
Everybody needs a little love.
Hence the conversation about
spongy bread.
Which,
yes.
I'm sorry, that's one of my favorite things ever. That she brings that up and it's so
My favorite thing is simply just watching Chandra Wilson give the speech.
With that sort of
that
suppressed
moment
enthusiasm.
Before, yeah, that moment before she starts to speak where she's trying to figure out what words to use. And then when she launches in. And then what I love is just her little satisfied with herself nod before she walks out of the room. Like, okay, I did that. Good. Good for me. And then she leaves and Callie's sort of like, I don't even know what that means.
Well, and I also feel like Bailey's coming from a more confident place emotionally at this point because she's made a choice that she's working on things with Tuck. And,
yes.
You know, she's back in her family. So she's back being that weirdly stable source of all wisdom.
She's always been our anchor. Like, she's the only one in a stable, happy relationship. She's the only, you know what I mean? She's our anchor.
She absolutely is. So it's nice to see her back dispelling wisdom as only Bailey can, which is, and also to me, it's a big sign of her love for Callie. Like, she's always
and
been...
And for lesbians everywhere.
For lesbians everywhere, but specifically that she takes the time with Callie really speaks to the past of the relationship.
To explain.
Which I think is just a beautiful thing. Because I'm not sure she'd go to all that lengths with everybody. Like,
yeah, that's very
the
true.
The man whore, for
yeah, she certainly wouldn't go those lengths with Sloan.
I think which, down the line we might see, it's not quite as... She's not quite as patient with Sloan, let's put it that way.
Yes.
I think also Izzy and Alex are at a... interesting point at this point because this relationship is really getting tense and
he's being
awkward.
Fairly abusive, and I love that she smacks him in the back of the head with a roll of tape because the man has he's acting out all of his aggressions on her.
Yep.
And I love that he says, you know, she's the only person he can be pissed at, because it's true, she's the only one left. He can't be pissed at a crazy girl because she's crazy. He can't be pissed at anybody else because in a weird way you can only be that angry at your closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she's his closest friend, and so he can be freely mean and abusive to her because in a weird way, there's a safety of knowing that she's going to be there, which I like.
I think that's absolutely true.
And where this goes, it's really good, too. So.
Trust us, it's really, really, really good.
Yeah, you're going to want to keep watching this one.
This is not the this is not the end of the turnpike.
This is certainly not your typical story of romance.
not in any way, shape, or form.
We'll talk about it again in a couple episodes when you know what I mean.
Yeah, and yeah, I think you'll all be saying the same thing, which is holy moly.
Yes.
Clearly, I think there's a little window open for them to now get closer because he sort of admitted where his brain is.
Yeah,
which is
there's
nice.
A window. The other thing that happens is that George finally passes his intern exam and thus
Thank
gets to stop
God.
Being an intern, yes, and be a resident. And we made him suffer for quite a long time.
We did.
But now he's a full-fledged, his full-fledged little resident wings and he can fly, which is lovely. I love the moment where he walks off and leaves Lexi behind, kind of forgetting about her.
Yeah.
Because she loves him so deeply.
I think George is in a very self-protective, self-contained place right now. That's the way
Yeah, I think he's been fully focused on getting to where he needs to go. So much, I mean, to me, that's why he has never noticed that Lexi has feelings for him. He's been so focused on getting where he needs to go that he's not looking around to see anybody else.
Well, and he barely has any emotional space given the relationships he's had for the past little bit. I mean, he got married in Vegas after his father died. He then flipped right into a relationship with Izzy. He's in no position.
He should not be dating.
He should not be dating.
There are some times when people should just be alone.
It's true.
With themselves to pull it together.
I think that's true.
This is one of those times for George.
I think so, too. I think sometimes you just got to get to know yourself again, and that seems like that would be
maybe later when he goes to vote, he might meet somebody.
That's true. And maybe if he goes to vote, he deserves to meet somebody.
Exactly, because he voted.
And that would have. And maybe it's something that you meet very slowly, like progresses slowly.
Maybe you see them over a series of elections.
That's true.
And then perhaps you speak.
It could be an ongoing meet situation, which isn't rapid and has respect for George's need for a little bit of distance and introspection.
While voters
right
often provide good sex, voting slowly and over time can lead to love.
It does. Mm-hmm. I think that's you know, I think there's a whole political treatise, clearly, which could be coming out of this, which is how to make voting more appealing.
You should write a book.
To the
voting
average person.
Sexy.
Voting is sexy. And Meredith, you know, with Meredith and Derek, I think Derek seems to be really trying desperately to make a home for himself. At
yes, yes, he is.
The Casa of Fun.
Boy, is he trying.
It's kind of rough riding there. It's not much space in that place.
There's a lot of people living there.
It's a lot of people living there, and apparently, not only are there a lot of people, but the ghost of Ellis seems to be living there more
yes.
and more frequently
yes.
now.
The diaries.
I think everywhere you turn.
We felt really strongly about these diaries and the idea that the diary would be a window into Meredith's mother, but also a window into surgery as it used to be, which was interesting to us. Those diaries are obviously going to hold a lot of meaning, and we're going to find some stuff in them later. But for right now, they are Meredith's connection with her mother, who is dead. And I don't know why I said this as if nobody knew, but Meredith's
just
connection
for the record,
with her mother.
Meredith's mother is dead.
And
just to recap, Dylan the Bomb Guy's dead.
Yes,
Denny's
dead. People are
dead. They're dead.
But just to connect, and also to connect our residents with the struggles of residents from years past. I love the idea. I mean, I always joke that, like, I always wanted to do a show that was about 25 years ago when Alice and Richard were interns and residents. And this is
for the hairdos alone.
Yeah, for the hairdos alone. For the fro on the chief alone.
We're so, so anxious to see that in reality.
And the members only jackets.
Just totally. Just
and
like
the leg warmers.
Little tiny bit of shoulder pad.
Oh.
Awesome. Would be good.
Yeah, and the Madonna-like ripped clothing. The flash
I think it's
all.
pretty safe for me to say that flashback episode is
I know.
Clearly
I'm
just barking at the gates.
I've
here.
Wanted to do it for so long, and everyone just stares at me whenever I say I
she
want to
actually,
do it.
I can testify
I'm
that pretty much from
bringing it up.
Like episode 6 of the show on, you've been saying
flashback episode.
Flashback.
It's the 70s.
And then we got a little confused about time frame because for a while it was the 60s, which I mean Meredith was 45.
45, yeah.
Which is crazy.
But literally, it's like it's the early 80s. I think it's like 82 is what it is.
Oh, and the music in 82 is
yeah,
great.
Yeah, the music in 82 is great. And
MTV
been,
came on the air in 81, so
I mean,
it's actually
we got a little bit of it when we had Meredith have the memory of being on the carousel with her mother. And you can't really tell, but Richard's wearing a members only jacket that made me happier than anything
that was pretty,
ever
pretty
in history, man.
And we had, like, Ellis had a really nice, pretty long hair, dude.
She had long hair.
It was very
yeah.
sort of Joan Baez-y.
It was very Joan Baez-y.
It's kind of nice. So, yeah, well, that's something I look forward to in the future.
Exactly.
Next week's going to be really good.
Next week's episode
is called
There's No I in Team.
No I in Team.
Written by Jenna Banz.
There's No I in Vote.
There is no Hawaiian vote.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't vote.
If that means everybody shouldn't. I'm confused now. Anyway, it's been my Jenna Bans. It's a really great episode. We're very excited about it.
This is Jenna Bans' first episode.
It's Jenna Bans' first episode here. She was very nervous, but she did a very
Jenna
good job.
Jenna rocks.
It's got some really great stuff in it. So I wish I could tell you about it, but as you know, we don't do that.
We don't do that. We don't actually.
You either watch or you don't.
Of or any great
you DVR or you don't. Get,
by the way, the DVR, wonderful tool.
Wonderful tool.
If maybe you're out.
Apparently millions
maybe
of you
if you're out
DVRing
on a date,
show.
A pre-vote date, and you come back and you've DVR'd, that's
yes.
okay.
Yes.
Although we love it when you watch it in real time. That's our favorite thing, because then you can tune in to us the next morning and we can ramble on about what you just saw, and you won't have to wait.
Also,
the immediacy of
also,
it is great.
You condition your hair during the commercials.
In preparation for voting.
Yes. Don't go to the polls looking bad.
Yeah. Don't look like I do when I walk the dog. That's my biggest piece of advice.
You got to look attractive when you go to the polls because of all the attractive people who are going to be there.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps up this big lump of inanity.
I think we've said so much.
Yet, not so much, actually.
Yeah, not so much, but
a lot of quantity. Hope the quality's in there someplace. If you pick through it, maybe there's a diamond.
This is Shonda.
This is Betsy.
This is Grey's Anatomy.
Join us again next week for the deconstruction of the next episode, There's No I in Team, and perhaps more reasons why voting is sexy. There's No I in Team airs Thursday, October 23rd at 9 p.m. on ABC, and as always, is available the next day at abc.com. Don't forget to tune in for Ugly Betty at 8 p.m., stay for Grey's at 9, and then watch ABC's newest hit drama, Life on Mars, at 10. Thursdays on ABC are Ugly and Grey on Mars.